answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That you worked very closely with Leader McConnell on this bill, now that we see what's in it, seems to be as bipartisan as it gets. Why wouldn't both sides really want this to go through?
Well, it's a great question, Mika. Look, it took a long time, 4 months of arduous negotiations. They fell off the tracks a whole bunch of times. I had to be on the phone even at midnight saying, we got to keep going. Why? We're at a turning point in America. This bill is crucial, and history will look back on it and say, did America fail itself?
Yes, yes, we have failed ourselves based on what we're seeing now from the Senate bill that was released without adequate time. And, of course, it's coming up for a vote Wednesday. But we've seen enough of it to know, yes, this is a failure to protect America. And there you have Senator Chuck Schumer, Senate leader. Majority, of course, held by the Democrats. And he's saying this, I worked hard in the middle of the midnight, you know, getting the train back on the track, trying to save America. BS. When I break down this bill for you, you're going to see the very glaring issues. And you know what they're going to do? You ever play the game, pin the tail on the donkey? That's kind of what they're doing. And blind man's bluff, that's another thing they're playing. You ever been to a kid's party where they're blindfolded and swinging at a pinata? Again, it's the same thing. They are going to prop up a straw man for their failure to address and allow the border crisis we currently have. And that would be, let me see, who could we pick on? Donald Trump. Donald Trump and everyone around him. When I begin to break this bill down for you, you're going to get a good, clear idea of what's happening. And I'll tell you this, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican in the Senate, has also signed on to it. That's why they're saying with him and others, it's a bipartisan bill. Why wouldn't everybody get on board? Because the devil is in the details. And really, they're not that fine print details either. They're smack dab in your face. Speaking of Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican, Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee says the Senate GOP needs new leadership now. I second that. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are. I'll set the stage for you. Here we are at Feb 5, 2024. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back right here for you. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. If you miss anything, remember you can always go to Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. Pardon me, I'm sorry, I'm fighting a little sore throat here. Probably because I've been yelling in the middle of the night when I looked over the Senate bill. Reminding you also, when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. So you can watch my anger and my face get more and more red. We put a thermometer beside myself. It'll just keep increasing, I promise you. But we are streaming video at News Talk STL Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, YouTube. Also at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. No YouTube. They won't allow us on. To hell with them. All right, let's get back into this immigration bill. There's a lot to cover. Now, the immigration bill is a critical part of this entire piece they presented. They know that. The Democrats know that. They know that is the most pressing thing for America. The other pressing part of the bill that's included in there is money for military aid for Israel. Chuck Schumer stood on the floor of the Senate October 8th and declared, we need money for Israel now. Well, immediately the House passed a bill, $14 billion. standalone bill. That's not what Schumer wanted. And if you're not going to put what I want in for Ukraine in it, then we're not going to deal with it. So he has allowed Israel to swing in the wind because of his politics, and yet he has the gall to turn around with other Democrats and blame all of this delay upon Republicans. Again, the immigration bill is the thing we're all concerned about for our nation. It is the thing that 7 to 8 out of 10 voters say worries them more, and that Trump is better to handle it than Biden, just looking by what has happened. But I want you to listen to Senator Schumer as he's talking to MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski, as he begins to detail priorities of this bill.
Why is it crucial? Well, if we don't aid Ukraine, Putin will be walk all over Ukraine. We will lose the war, and we could be fighting in Eastern Europe in a NATO ally in a few years. Americans won't like that. If we don't help Israel defend itself against Hamas, that perpetual war will go on and on and on. If we don't help humanitarian aid to the starving Palestinians in Gaza, hundreds of thousands could starve. And the border.
And the border. There is your priority list. What was the first thing? Ukraine. And then, of course, he mentioned the military aid for Israel, which was on his desk as a single bill that he could have put before his membership for a vote, and he did not. And then when he went through that list, where did he put the border? At the very end of this $118 billion agreement. I'm going to break it out in detail for you in a moment. But let's go back and let Schumer complete his thought on himself, how crucial this bill is. This is a major point in history, but the border with us basically invaded by who knows who with what purpose, that's a small piece of our history.
And the border, everyone has said it's chaos. A speaker, you just saw Speaker Johnson, he said it's chaos. We have to do something legislative a few months ago. But what has happened, in answer your question, so this is crucial for America. It's a turning point.
Right.
History is going to look over our shoulders and say, did we rise to the occasion?
No.
To his credit, Mitch McConnell did. But too many Republicans, including Speaker Johnson, are just scared to death of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has said he wants chaos. Donald Trump has said, well, wait till I become president. That'll take at least a year. Ukraine could be gone. The border will get much worse. War in the Middle East will get worse, maybe bringing us into it. He's doing it all for political reasons. And let me just say, will senators, the crucial question, the $64,000 question, the majority of Republican senators know this bill is the right thing to do. It's a compromise. I don't like everything in it. Neither does McConnell. But it's a compromise. That's the only way you get things important done in the Senate. We proved that 2 years ago in our bipartisan legislation. And will the senators drown out the political noise from Trump and his minions and do the right thing for America? It's a crucial question. History is looking down on every one of us right now.
And that includes you, Chuck Schumer. I'm not crying for control of the border because of Donald Trump. I'm not shouting that we close it because of Donald Trump. I'm doing it for this country and our future and our children and our grandchildren and their children. And you stand there, Senator Schumer, and make remarks like, well, Mike Johnson only wants to have more chaos than Trump wants chaos, said he did. Where did he say that? And where did you come up with the idea that we don't want the border closed? You see how they spin this around? It's if we have more border issues because you won't pass my bill, it's on the Republicans' hands. Fat lie. But these guys, they're incorrigible when it comes to telling lies. Let me give you an example of Morning Joe, of course, of MSNBC, how he began to lay out what he's heard from House Speaker Johnson, and then he actually wants to find a way to work in Mike Johnson's religion.
The House Republican leadership say they won't bring the bill up for a vote, with Speaker Mike Johnson saying it's even worse than expected.
That's
not.
Just a lie. And I'd love to know what Bible he's looking at when he says he lives by the Bible, because it's bizarre that this guy is worshiping at the feet of Donald Trump. Basically does whatever Donald Trump tells him to do.
No. That's not the point, but they're going to continue to hammer it. And when Johnson says it's worse than what we expected, let me give you an idea of this. The whole idea of the border bill is to close the border and stop more illegals from coming in and begin to round up those we can, especially if they're causing criminal activity, and get them out of the country. This new bill, as presented through the Senate, now going to the House, the vote for the Senate should come up Wednesday, according to Chuck Schumer. It's not clear if he's going to have the necessary 60 votes to get through. He's got, obviously, various GOP representatives with him. About 20 to 25 Republican senators say they're willing to evaluate specifics, and a similar number are against the deal, according to the lead GOP negotiator, Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma. And you got a handful of Democrats also expected to vote against it. So it's not just Republicans. You think these Democrats are trying to kiss Donald Trump's feet, as you heard Morning Joe suggest? This new bill will grant the president and the Department of Homeland Security authority to shut down the border. They already have it. They already have that border. They already have that order. They already have it. But it will give them authority to shut down the border when encounters reach 4,000 over a 7-day period. That'll be a voluntary shutdown. If it reaches 5,000 over a 7-day period, it will be mandatory the border be shut. If you're 5,001, you got to wait. Come back tomorrow. If it reaches 8,500 in one day, it will be a mandatory shutdown if we get 8,500 in one day. So let me listen, get this clear. How long will it be shut down? That's not clear yet either. If you have 8,500 in one day, say, well, by this bill, mandatorily, we have to close the border. How about you go back to the Constitution and our nation and protecting our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic? You don't have a one-day allowance. We're going to let you come in one day and terrorize the hell of our nation and go back home. And inside of this, there's $90 billion in foreign aid. Ukraine military aid, $62 billion. Israeli military aid, $15 billion. They'll finally let it go through if you tie all this to it. Ukraine, Gaza humanitarian aid, $10 billion. And then another $5 billion for partners in the Indo-Pacific region. We'll have more on this coming up later in this hour and next hour. But Friday night, Biden did give the green light to start hitting terrorist targets. But on Meet the Press Sunday, GOP Speaker Mike Johnson says more needs to be done, and the target is Iran.
We need to make absolutely clear to Iran that nothing is off the table. You know, we maintain peace through strength. That was the Reagan doctrine. That's what President Trump continued, and that's what we have to do right now. We should not be appeasing Iran. That's what the Biden administration has been doing for the last 3 years. We are projecting weakness on the world stage, and frankly, Kristen, that is why our adversaries are acting so provocatively. What we need to be doing right now is turning up the heat on Iran. We need to act to decimate the Iran Central Bank, the assets that they've held there. We need to lean on international banks to seize the assets of Iranian proxies. We need to put big-time pressure, maximum pressure, on their oil exports.
But are we doing it? No, we're not. See, that is something Biden could have done already before we even fired the first missile at Houthi rebels in Yemen. We all know it's sanctioned and provided by Iran. And they get most of their money currently by selling oil to China. a minimum 1 million barrels a day for the last 10 to 12 months. You shut that down, that shuts down the money. Eventually, it'll drain down low enough they can't continue this kind of activity. And yet, that we're not doing. So he said, we've got a lot of ways to get at Iran, including sanctions, which are legitimate, which Trump had in place before Biden came into office and by executive order canceled them. But of course, NBC Meet the Press, Kristen Welker wants to put herself on the line as saying, and suggesting by this question, you're really a hawk. You really want a war. You want a nuke out, don't you? And her question and his answer give you a better perspective.
We need to put big-time pressure, maximum pressure, on their oil exports. There's a lot that we could do to Iran to send a message instead of this appeasement strategy. It's just simply
not working. Including strikes, Mr. Speaker? Including strikes, just to be clear?
It should not be off the table. Let me give you just a quick example. You know, in the Trump administration, we used a drone and three missiles to take out Qasem Soleimani near Baghdad. That sent a strong message, and it quelled all of the activity there. What we're doing right now, we're using potentially hundreds of munitions to strike close to 100 targets so far, but we're not going right to the heart of the matter.
No, we're not going to the heart of the matter. That'd be Iran. He did not give her the answer she wanted. She wanted him here to say, yes, if we have to hit Iran, we will. Now, again, I want to make it clear to you. I don't think our nation should ever telegraph to the enemy, the American public, anyone, what our plans are, when and how we will strike. But this swatting at them, and these strikes over the weekend that really didn't, again, amount to much because business will continue. The Houthis are vowing severe revenge. You know what the response is from National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan? He was on CNN State of the Union over the weekend. And he said, we will take additional action after the earlier strikes, but he would not specify exactly, and I understand. He said the president ordered strikes in Iraq and Syria in response to the death of our three troops. Those strikes were carried out Friday night and to good effect. Dana Bash asked him, you said it's a beginning. I want to clarify, does that mean there will be more strikes coming in the next few days? His answer, what it means is we will take further action. And I'll go describe the character of that action. I don't want to telegraph our punches, which I agree with him. Bash asking, inside Iran, would you rule that out at this point? Same question Johnson got from Kristen Welker. Sullivan said, look, sitting on a national TV program, I'm not going to rule in and rule out any activity anywhere. But I'm going to say the president will do what he thinks needs to be done and reinforce the point he's going to defend our forces and also he's not looking to get into a war. There it is again. Is that being said for Iranians' purpose or for the American purpose? We're not looking to make this bigger. We don't want it bigger. But if you don't start taking more direct action, it's going to be bigger anyway. Later in this hour, Trump drops a couple of names for VP. Also coming up, do we want an open border forever? Asylum for everyone? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930. 1-800-644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. I want to begin by pointing out there's an article in The Federalist right now by Margo Cleveland, and it's titled, Under the Senate's Atrocious Border Bill, Everybody Gets Asylum, adding Congress apparently wants to open America to every citizen of the world who heralds from a country where the government cannot control crime. And they're going to come here where apparently we're not very good at controlling it either, are we? My guest is the director of the Hispanic Engagement for the American Principles Project, former chief of the U.S. Office of Citizenship, Alfonso Aguilar. I apologize. Alfonso, welcome.
Hello. Happy to be with you.
Well, let's begin by your take on what Margo Cleveland is suggesting, that Congress wants to open America to every citizen of the world.
Well, it's already happening, right? So I agree with her that this doesn't change really anything. I mean, it's not serious asylum reform. And the problem, as she points out, which I agree with 100%, is that Congress came up with a very broad definition of asylum. I mean, asylum is, you know, people coming here because they're being persecuted for reasons of race, politics, or religion. That's something we can all agree on, right?
Right.
But they added this term, member of a special group. And you know, when Congress does that, if you have a administration like this one, a liberal progressive administration, they are going to impose new rules to really broaden that concept.
Sure.
So now it includes anyone. Look, if a left-hander comes to our border and says, I'm being discriminated by an autocratic right-wing regime, you know, they're going to let them in. It's as simple as that, and that doesn't change. I mean, if you look at the legislation, I spent the better part of yesterday and this morning reading the entire bill and the fine print, you realize that they're going to let thousands of people in, and they're going to release them into the country. That is going to continue. That doesn't change.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
It depends on the will of the administration. This administration has no will.
Well, but Senator Chuck Schumer says, people like you, with all due respect, Alfonso, people like you, you're kissing Donald Trump's feet. You're the one causing chaos at the border because we have a bill here that will make things better. I don't see a damn thing in here that will make it better. I don't see when we're going to allow... If 8,500 in one day come to the border, all right, mandatorily we'll shut it. I don't know how long, if the next day another 8,500 could come in. They're basically saying we're going to set limits to let them on in.
Right. The sad thing is that, you know, they're saying that President Trump is playing politics with the issue. They're the ones playing politics. They created this mess. The majority of Americans, African-Americans, Hispanics, all the different groups, blame Biden for this mess that we have in the country. And now this is a political move to try to blame Congress. Oh, the Republic, I need this legislation. Without it, I can fix it. Well, if you needed this legislation, why didn't you pass it when you had control of both houses of Congress, right? So it's a joke. It's a joke. And look, I know some of the people involved in negotiating this deal, Senator Lankford. I respect him.
Republican of Oklahoma.
Of Oklahoma. I respect him, but I think he's being naive. I think he's being very naive because at the end you have to read the fine print.
Go ahead. I want the example, but again, I'm surprised anyone could be that naive when those numbers I just read to you are right there in print.
Right, right. Well, you know, sometimes on the Hill they're in a bubble. They don't realize what's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how you can realize what's going on when you see those numbers. But look, for example, they're saying that, you know, I saw a tweet from Senator Sinema of Arizona, independent, saying that this ends catch and release. That is not true. If you read the bill, if Secretary Mayorkas determines that we're under operational circumstances, due to operational circumstances, he can actually refer migrants that arrive at the border to non-custodial removal proceedings. What does that mean?
Yeah.
They're allowed in and they're released into the community. That's what it means. So it is. So that's why you have to read it. And then they say, oh, no, it guarantees that in 180 days, the process will be over. A determination will be made if they're granted or not asylum. Well, if you go to the proposed legislation and you read the language, it says at the maximum extent possible. In other words, if we can. And if you have an overwhelmed border, they're not going to be able to do it. That's the excuse that they give right now. Oh, that's what the law says, but we're hand-tied. We're overwhelmed. We can't do our job. Well, this law doesn't improve that.
Well, let's look at it this way. Let's look at what is happening, because they've been having all these secret meetings behind doors. We weren't really getting anything. We're getting bits and pieces. So now it's coming out. And the first response from Utah Senator Lee was, this is a disqualifying betrayal. And he is one of the first to start calling for, we need a change of leadership at the GOP in the Senate, which I second. Your thoughts?
I agree. I agree. I mean, we can't be this naive. I mean, when you're specifically on this issue, when you're negotiating with Democrats, they know how to sneak in their provisions to continue doing what they're doing. And this is all about politics. Give the impression that, you know, this massive flow of people that we're seeing was unintended, that, you know, Biden could have stopped it, but he didn't have the legal means to do it. But the plan is to continue doing exactly the same thing.
Sure.
And so I think we need centered leadership that is awake, that can actually work hard to defend our sovereignty. And look, I mean, this doesn't only affect Americans. I mean, this is a national security threat. You've seen the growing numbers of people arriving at the border that are in terrorist lists. But this also affects migrants.
Well, yeah, I want to break that down. I want to break that down. Again, you're listening to Alfonso Aguilar. He is the former chief of the U.S. Office of Citizenship, director of Hispanic Engagement for the American Principles Project. First of all, you do know that Trump hates brown people, and that's all he's been trying to do is keep brown people out. And that anybody that's against this bill is just kissing Donald Trump's feet, because Trump and Republicans want chaos at the border. That's what they're saying.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've been told that every single day. You know, they say I'm betraying the Hispanic community because I support Trump or I want a secure border. Well, you know, the reality is that most Hispanics want a secure border. And that's why we're seeing so many Hispanics publicly saying in poll after poll that they're willing to support Donald Trump. In fact, I don't know if you saw that the poll yesterday from NBC News, it has Trump beating Biden with Hispanics by 1%, 42 to 41%.
That's pretty amazing. That's really pretty amazing. Now, since you served as the chief of the Office of Citizenship, you know we've got many in line to come to the country properly. What is happening to them as they're trying to come in legally with documentation and everything with this flood of, as described by Governor Abbott, the size of three Houstons? Houston is about 2.3 million.
Well, the sad thing is that those people are trying to enter legally and do things by the book have to wait longer. Think about the people that actually have a legitimate claim to asylum, that are being persecuted because of race. They have to go to the back of the line. They have to wait because you have a lot of irresponsible people that are coming to the border and asking for asylum. Up to 90% of the people that are asking for asylum at the border have no legitimate claim.
Let me ask this. Do you think, of course, the Democrats are doing it because they believe all of these will end up voting Democrat. Do you buy that?
No. I mean, that's very condescending, right? But that's how they treat. I think that, I think under the proper conditions, they believe that they can manipulate them. And I think that's what they think, that, by allowing all these people in, that you'll create a permanent underclass that they can manipulate and you ensure that they're always going to vote Democratic. And frankly, initially, that could happen. I mean, they arrive here and they're poor. The first few decades, that may be the case. Look, it happened with every single community that arrived here.
The
Irish. Initially, they were Democrats.
Well, the other point being is that the black voting bloc has always been the one subservient to the Democrats' wishes, show up for Election Day and then go back home, we'll take care of things. The Hispanic population growing so fast, even aside from babies born here, which become automatic U.S. citizens, how soon do you predict that the black population will not be as big and large and as influential and that much of a target for the Democrats?
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. Well, we know that the African-American community is decreasing in size. So they need those numbers so that you bring in those people, poor people, and part of the strategy, obviously, is to ensure that they receive and depend on social programs, right? Welfare and other social programs that we know sadly create dependence. And that's what they want. They want to have those people remain in those programs. And that way you cultivate a permanent electorate. That's their cynical plot here. That's a cynical plot, sadly. And look, when you think of the number, over 8 million people that have entered the country. I mean, that's an incredible massive movement of people.
In the last 30 seconds, I think about the children that are in the midst of them, and terrorists. Last 30 seconds for you, sir.
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, this massive flow of people facilitates child trafficking. We know that the administration has lost contact with 85,000 unaccompanied minors inside the country, inside the U.S. Those kids are being trafficked, many of them, and so it's a travesty. It's terrible.
Alfonso Aguilar, we'll do it again. You've got a lot of information I want to tap you for in the future.
All righty, of course. Take care.
You bet. Alfonso Aguilar, currently director of the Hispanic Engagement for the American Principles Project. Coming up, what do you think about telling children to basically shame their parents into not buying alcohol? And does Donald Trump have a VP in hand?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Why can't I drink wine?
Because it's not good for you.
Is it good for you?
Well, not really.
Then why do you drink it?
Honestly, it's a really good question.
Now, this ad with a man grocery shopping with his daughter who questions his decisions. Well, the man puts the wine back on the shelf after telling his daughter it's not good for you. But the Oregon Beverage Alliance sent a letter to the health authority and the governor saying the ad is wasteful and offensive. Their letter says in part, we're disturbed to see the OHA rethink the drink ad pivot from educating Oregonians about responsible drinking to a neo-prohibitionist agenda.
Prohibitionist agenda. That's exactly what it does. That was part of a PSA. I had a guest scheduled to talk about that in the next hour, but apparently not going to make it, so I'm going to get into it right now for you, because this is a very interesting turn. I can understand a PSA or the child talking to about the dad about, you know, you're not going to drink too much of it. He said, no, you never should drink too much. Some things of that nature. But she is basically asking, why you do it? Is it good for you? And he said, well, maybe, probably not. Okay, I'll put it back. Oregon spends a lot of money promoting and, of course, reaps a lot of money from its wine industry, as do other states. They are calling this PSA, Rethink the Drink. Now, let's be straightforward here. If you're going to be over-imbibing, especially getting behind the wheel, and you're underage anyway, yes, rethink the drink. You shouldn't be doing it. But here's an adult getting ready to buy a bottle of wine, take home, maybe for dinner with he and his wife. I don't know. The storyline could have gone anywhere, but the little girl with him pushing the grocery basket is apparently his daughter. And, well, could I have some? Why can't I have some? Well, because it's not good for you. Could have also said, you're too young, period. That'd been it. But when he says it's not good for you, and she says, then why do you drink it? Now, if he'd said, because you're too young, it's not legal for you to do it, then she couldn't have said, but you are? I said, yes, I am. But when he says, it's not good for you, cleverly written, isn't it? Then she gets to respond and say, well, then why do you drink it? Shame, shame, shame on that father. Doing something not good for himself in front of his daughter. And what it really comes down to, and I agree with those complaining about it, this is a new agenda of prohibition. Let me give you some details that I was going to have from my guest, Gary Mortensen. He is the president of Stoller Wine. I'll try to book him again in the future. Now, he points out that Oregon's craft wine, beer, cider, spirits industry primarily comprise small family-owned businesses, but it is highly regulated and is highly compliant. They contribute $17 billion annually to the state of Oregon. $17 billion. And to make a reference point, Intel, which is in Oregon, contributes $19 billion. That's pretty close. You want to take out Intel? And they also point out, not to mention after coming off a two-year pandemic, where they lost 50,000 jobs, 1,000 restaurants and bars, 3,000 beer-related jobs, and wine losing 12,000. Now they want to wage war and this PSA type thing. He said, the last couple of years, this, what I'm going to read to you, this is the kind of thing that make you lose control of your car. So as usual, I need to issue a warning. Do not lose control of your car. As I tell you, the last couple of years saw proposals to tax Oregon wines by $22,000. No, not a 22% increase, not even a 220% increase, 2,200% increase in taxes. They were able to escape that, and yet they still got a 643% increase in taxes. Why are they trying to drive out an industry which obviously benefits the state and provides numerous resources? $17 billion? Obviously, the Oregon wine industry and other liquor industries around the nation encourage, one, legal drinking, and two, moderation. Legal being of age, moderation being, you know your limit, you should do, and what you shouldn't do. And if you have an issue, you call a cab, Uber, or Lyft, or you get someone else designated as a driver. No, I agree, they are basically trying to create a new prohibition agenda. I don't know if you've heard the song from 1972, It Never Rains in Southern California. Well, it is now. My God, it's been going on and on. They're telling us now that it's an atmospheric river. This means currents bringing everything together. Scientists say, scientists, they're following the science here. Two factors that are enhancing the rainfall and destructive power of the storm they're now having. The climate crisis, you got to put that one in, don't they? And El Nino. El Nino, of course, has been around for a while, but now they're trying to say it's all coming together. It is, quote, a perfect storm. 14 million in California are under a rare high risk of excessive rainfall today all across Southern California, and parts of the Los Angeles forecast will receive close to half a year's worth by tomorrow. Then it will slowly shift to the south, away from L.A. and into San Diego, and it's already affecting those, quote, downstream from these storms anyway. More than 500,000 California customers have power outages already. Well, let's just get in the car and get out of the house. Oh, rats. We bought into the idea of all electric car. We can't charge the car and go anywhere. Hope you have a boat. I'm not trying to mock these people and make fun of them because some of them thought they were doing the right thing and it was their choice. but maybe this would give them an idea that this is not a good idea to put all your reliance on electric energy if you have no electric energy. San Diego mayor has told reporters, we are working to prepare for the impact of the storm. He said, this is happening after 2 weeks of repeated storm events. We're not used to this kind of rain in San Diego. We're used to perfect weather. I understand that. I understand that. Marine Corps boot camp is right there at San Diego. It's always perfect. There's never a reason for you not to get out there and do push-ups, runs, or whatever else they want you to do. And if it did rain, you're going to do it anyway. And, of course, also deeper south, you've got 49 Palms. 29 Palms, I'm sorry, where the Marines are training constantly. And you got Carmel, beautiful resort area. They have put out 150,000 sandbags. That's going to be absolutely ineffective. I can tell them that right now. And Hollywood Hills is a residential neighborhood in the central region of Los Angeles. Hollywood Hills, for those of you familiar with it, know that it borders Studio City, Universal City, and Burbank on the south. On the north, I should say, on the north. Griffith Park, you may or may not be familiar with, but you have Hollywood on the south and Hollywood Hills west from that point. All of that area, much of it, tourism areas, going to be inundated, impassable. The Santa Barbara Airport is closed due to flooding already, canceling all commercial flights. They're saying in Hollywood Hills, we have an extremely dangerous situation unfolding. And then on top of all of this, the vast majority of the flood victims will not be covered by their insurance. Rising water will not be covered. It'll have to come out of their pockets. Or the state of California. Or they might have to dip into that plan for black reparations. Or they might have to dip into the plan for more EV power stations. They'll have to find it somewhere. It'll be your pocket. So President Trump dropped a couple of names for vice president over the weekend. First question, will you accept either one you're going to hear? And is he speaking for real or is he just floating trial balloons?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli, Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What criteria are you using to identify who your running mate is?
Always, it's got to be one thing. It's got to be who would be a good president. I mean, you always have to think that because, you know, in case of emergency, things happen, right? No matter who you are, things happen. It's got to be number one.
Who is your running mate?
Well, I have a lot of good people. We have a lot of really good people.
So you haven't decided who it is?
I have a lot of good ideas, but I haven't. And there's no reason to do that.
So you haven't told that person, you're my person.
I speak to everybody. I speak to everybody.
He hasn't spoken to me yet about it. Oh, wait a minute. My phone's ringing here. I'll have to put him on hold. I can't talk while I'm talking to you. I'll get back to you, Mr. President. Is he toying a little bit with Maria? Well, it's a legit question for her to ask on our program. Where are you on your VP selection? Have you even talked to the person in particular and told them that they're going to be your choice, but to keep it silent right now? He said, I talked to a lot of people, And then he drops one name in particular, and if you listen, you're going to hear a second name.
I called Tim Scott this, so because a lot of people like Tim Scott. I called him and I said, you're a much better candidate that for me than you are for yourself. When I watched him, he was fine, he was good, but he was very low-key, et cetera, et cetera. I watched him in the last week defending me and sticking up for me and fighting for me. I said, man, I said, you're a much better person for me than you are for yourself, because for himself, he was low-key. For me, he's been a real tiger. He's been incredible. and others have too.
So maybe it's Tim Scott.
Well, it could be. It could be a lot of people. But it was interesting. I was watching Tim. I've been watching, you know, for a while. I watched him campaign as a candidate. But I watched him over the last 2 weeks. As you know, he endorsed me, fully endorsed me, gave me a beautiful endorsement. And he has been really strong in terms of that. No, but that has nothing to do. I don't want anybody to take even any inference. But it's incredible. Kristi Noem has been incredible fighting for me. She said, I'd never run against him because I can't beat him. That was a very nice thing to say.
What was the story that your team reached out to RFK Jr.?
It's a false story, no. It's a false
story. You never reached out to RFK Jr.?
I like him a lot. Nope, never happened.
So that name he's kicking to the curb. He did mention Kristi Noem, South Dakota governor, and she had said, I will never run against him. Let me see, there's another former governor who made that statement, female governor. Let me see, what's her name? Help me. Nikki? Is it Nikki? Yes, Larry, you're right. Nikki Haley said the same thing. And of course, now she's turned on him. And there are those behind the scenes basically still trying to get her to get out, and others saying, Trump, you need to get out of the way of Nikki. Now, the other thing about Tim Scott, I would agree with Trump. When I watched him in those early, quote, debates, Trump, of course, is not on the stage. I would have to agree that Tim Scott, as much as I like him, did not exude confidence, power, authority. Vivek, I give points to for that. And Nikki Haley, and even DeSantis, but Tim was just a little lackluster. And the very last one he appeared in, you get to go with the very true last one between Nikki and DeSantis, but the last one he was in, he was more forceful. I think somebody got to him. You know what I think it comes down to, at least in my opinion? I have never used an agent to represent me in any dealings when it came to signing contracts to be a news anchor or this show with anyone. I do it myself. I'd rather do it myself eye to eye with the person. Now, I've been told numerous times, you know, without an agent, you're leaving money on the table. I said, maybe. Because they know that I'm not going to go in and act and believe all of my press clippings and say, this says I'm worth this. I'm a little smarter than that, plus realistic. I do think Tim Scott, at that point, didn't want to be that ego-driven as you need to be and make a more forceful showing for himself. But he is willing to fight for someone else. Same here. I can be more forgiving if I'm dealing with you, and it's we're talking about me, but if it involves something going some way going after Quentin, then I'm going to be on his side, and we're going to be very fierce about it. I think Trump has nailed that reference Tim Scott. Now, whether or not that's going to be his choice, I don't know, but that's the only one he spent a lot of time on, wasn't it? Universal planning a big expansion at its Florida theme park. You got to hear this. Do not go. You get ready to get out of that car? You do not get out of that car. They're making a big change. They're going woke. They're going woke with Frankenstein. You can't do that. Yes, they did. The 1931 version of the monster flick Frankenstein, the mad doctor who brought him alive, said, it's alive, it's alive, and he was Victor Frankenstein. But Universal set to inject girl power. It's not going to be Victor Frankenstein creating Frankenstein. It's going to be Victoria Frankenstein. Oh, my God. They want to know why they're losing money. Coming up, Governor Abbott getting other governors to join him to say, we will close the border. We're not going to get help from this government. And at this point, we're not going to, are we? We've got a lot to come. You don't want to miss any of it. And as always, I remind you, remember our pledge, one nation under God.